Listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer Agip was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbusters' website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a workplace decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the act, urge him to pledge his support. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers' jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream. For some of us.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com. For a guy who brags about being a Texas rancher, George W. sure is stepping in a lot of cow patties with his Iraqi policy. There was that big one about needing to oust Saddam because he had weapons of mass destruction. He didn't. Then there was Bush's claim that the Iraqi people would throw kisses and rose petals at our troops. They didn't. But perhaps the slickest and stinkiest cow patty that George has stepped in is his choice of allies to pursue his Iraqi adventure. By cozying up to regimes that are repressive and dictatorial, he has undermined any claim that his foreign policy is on the moral high road. In only 1 week in September, three of Bush's global buddies revealed themselves to be the very opposite of freedom fighters and democracy builders. First came Russian President Vladimir Putin, claiming, a la Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, and gang, that global terrorism warrants extreme measures. Putin unilaterally changed the way Russia's 89 regional governors and its legislators are chosen, effectively preventing opposition to his policies. Next was the Bush family's longtime pals, the royals of Saudi Arabia. Their use of religious police to repress Shiite Muslims, Jews, and Christians is so severe that even George's own State Department had to censure them, declaring flatly that freedom of religion does not exist there. Then there's General Musharraf, who stole democracy from Pakistan in a military coup 5 years ago. Ironically, Bush now hugs him as his close ally in his war to bring democracy to Iraq. Earlier this year, Musharraf pledged to give up his post as head of the military while also serving as president. Now, he has reneged, suddenly declaring that it's in the best interest of the nation that he wear both hats. This is Jim Hightower saying, America's credibility in the world is sinking because while George talks about democracy, he walks with autocrats.
Larry King here. You've heard me talk about Ester C. Well, now you can get more from your vitamin E. Introducing the advanced protection of Ester E from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body is ready to use it. So do what I do and get more from your E. Take new Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
And now, look for new Ester E where fine vitamins are sold.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listing.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome, my friend. Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, live on radio stations from coast to coast, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and streaming around the planet on radiopower.org. I crank my little volume up here again. Here we go. Here, I've got a good news, bad news story for you. This one of the more interesting of the day, actually. By the way, if you'd like to call into our program, our number is 1-866-889-8894. A little later on in the program, I believe in the third hour of our program, we're going to have on Gene Shaheen, who's the former governor of New Hampshire and now the manager of the Kerry campaign. And we're also going to have at the bottom of this hour a person who was on board the USS Abraham Lincoln when George Bush, you know, the press likes to say he landed his plane. He didn't. He was a passenger in that plane. When a brave Navy pilot landed with his passenger, George Bush, in the backseat on the plane, and George got to strut around in his flight suit, complete with a sock, and, well, that's a whole other story. Anyhow, our good news, bad news. Kind of strange news. The good news, new polls show President Bush losing ground in two battleground states he must win in his bid for re-election. He's now tied with John Kerry in Ohio and New Hampshire. Interesting. And if he doesn't win these states, he doesn't have it. It's not his. So, you know, that's kind of the good news. Here's the bad news. According to a story on the wire service today, now, you know, I was unable to confirm this, actually. It's from theinquirer.net. I'm not sure if that's the National Enquirer. I don't think so. But here's the story. I'll share it with you. And then I'm going to give you the phone number of the Secretary of State of Ohio, because I spent a half hour on the phone with them this morning, being transferred from person to person, and finally being told nobody would talk to me. I was recording the conversation. I was going to play it for you here on the air. I thought, you know, hey, let's get them to say, you know, what's up? You know, this is just plain old reporting. I wasn't going to pick a fight with anybody. But they didn't want to talk to me. So maybe they'll talk to you. As we pointed out, Bush and Cheney neck and neck in Ohio. And that's kind of the good news. And here's the point that is made. Turnout efforts could make the difference. Kerry has a huge lead among Democratic base groups, including African Americans, union members, and unmarried women. If these voters turn out at higher rates than in 2000, his chances of winning Ohio and the presidency will be dramatically enhanced in Ohio. So now what has happened is that the state of Ohio has rejected thousands of voter registrations because they are on the wrong paper. This is from a group called Citizens for Legitimate Government. They said that there's an old Ohio law that requires that voter registrations be filled out on what's called 80-pound paper stock. Now, back in the old days when I used to work in the advertising business, you know, one of the first things you learn is about paper stock, paper weight. And it's kind of an arcane thing, and it goes back to the days when a ream of paper, which is, I believe, now this, you know, and as I said, I worked in this industry for decades, and I can't say that for sure this is the history of where pounds came from. Maybe somebody in the paper industry wants to call and correct me. But my understanding is that it used to be that a certain amount of paper, and it couldn't be a ream because a ream wouldn't weigh that much. It must be a case. In any case, a certain amount of paper, a certain number of sheets of paper, let's say, would have different weights. If it was fairly thin paper, you know, a couple thousand sheets of paper might weigh 20 pounds, and so you'd call it 20-pound paper. If it was fairly heavy paper, particularly if it was coated with clay, coated stock, what's called, or cardboard stock, it might weigh much more. It might be 60-pound paper or 80-pound paper. 80-pound paper is actually the heaviest paper. It's almost like a card stock or a very light postcard. So now that you've had that little bit of information about, you know, the how paper is, here's the deal. There's a law in the books in Ohio that says that if you're going to do a voter registration, it has to be on 80-pound stock. Now, that law was, you know, for the state of Ohio to print their own form so that they could be stored in a basement someplace in Columbus, Ohio, and sit there forever and on that 80-pound stock paper. And survive, you know, because lighter paper is more likely to disintegrate over time. Unfortunately, it's no longer necessary because as soon as a voter registers, that information is immediately transcribed into a computer. It's digitized. It's stored that way. And they no longer even keep the paper. And so for some years, apparently, the state of Ohio not only has not enforced the, gee, it's got to be on 80-pound paper rule, but they allow people to, you know, take voter registration forms and copy them. Now, if you take a form and copy it at the copy shop at Kinko's or whatever, or you run it off on your computer, say somebody emails you a PDF of the form or a Word document of the voter registration form and you print it out, and then, you know, you stand on the street corner and you have people fill them out, that's going to be on 20-pound stock or maybe even 16-pound stock. Those are the standard weights for what we call copy paper or bond paper, typewriter paper. It's typically 20-pound stock. The cheaper copy papers are 16-pound stock. And so there's been this huge voter registration drive in Ohio to keep to get people to vote, to get people to register to vote, particularly single women and young people who have not voted in the past, who many of whom, perhaps most of whom, and particularly in black neighborhoods, many or most of whom are potential Kerry voters. So here comes the story, and I'll just read this straight. However, for some reason, just before the voter registration date is about to end, Ken Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, ordered local election boards to send out correct forms to tell voters to reapply. The Citizens for Legitimate Government claims that the local boards have been snowed under with requests and can't process the voter application forms in time. The result is that they will not be able to vote. So, if this is an issue that causes you some curiosity, this being Ohio, it literally, I mean, this everybody's saying Ohio or Michigan, one or the other, is probably going to be to this election of 2004 what Florida was to the last one, if Florida itself isn't. And these are states with large, large chunks of electoral votes. And if you're curious about this, there's this huge effort, and we'll be reporting on more of it as the program goes on, not just today, but, I mean, through the week and through the next couple of weeks here. Huge effort going on in many states where you've got elected officials or appointed officials under the sway of the Republicans trying to prevent people from getting on the voter rolls. And if you would like to ask Ohio Secretary of State Ken Blackwell, hey, Ken, what's the deal? His telephone number is area code 614-466-2655. That's the number for J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State in Columbus, Ohio. Area code 614-466-2655. In just a minute, I'll give it to you one more time. If you didn't have time to grab a pencil, you may want to call them and just say, is this really true that you guys are requiring 80-pound paper, you know, and therefore you're kicking these things back? Why didn't you tell anybody earlier? What's going on? Is Ken Blackwell a Republican? Who's, you know, what's going on with this thing? I tried to get these answers this morning in good faith with no, you know, I wasn't, you know, playing, you know, Bill O'Reilly on the phone or anything. I was just, you know, hey, I'd like some answers to some questions. If you could just, you know, connect me with somebody who can answer these questions. And I kept getting this, well, you know, so-and-so, and then I'd have to connect you to Andy, and then I'd have to connect you to, and nobody was ever giving last names. And finally somebody said, well, we'll have somebody call you back. I said, I'll wait. And I sat on hold for 20 minutes listening to music, and finally she came on and she said, well, he's just too busy to take your call. I said, I don't care. I'll wait as long as you'd like. And this was about 10 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, about 2 hours ago. I figured, hey, no, I've got 2 hours till I go on the air. I'm recording the thing. And she said, well, he's not going to take your call. He'll have to call you back. Or words to that effect. And so I gave her my phone number, and, of course, there has been no callback. So here's the telephone number. For Kenneth Blackwell, J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State of Ohio, call him up and say, what the hell is going on? Area code 614, of course, Columbus, Ohio, area code 614-466-2655. Now, here's a few other numbers that you might find useful. The campaign finance database or general campaign finance questions, you can call area code 614. If that number doesn't give you satisfaction, here's a few you may try. Area code 614. These are all 614. 466-3111. 466-3111. I'm not sure who that is. Apparently it's the finance department, the finance database. Election questions or comments, area code 614. 466-2585, 466-2585, and then there's a bunch of email addresses here. There's even a toll-free number. I'll give you the toll-free number, but I can tell you, I tried calling it, and it was just continuously busy all the time. And when Louise called, she actually called a little earlier in the morning, and she got a recording that said, if you have questions about the voter registration form, push 1. She pushed 1, and it said, I'm sorry, that mailbox is full, and disconnected her. So that's why I'm giving you the straight-through numbers, as somebody's actually going to answer. But you can try the toll-free number if you want. It's 877-767-6446. 767-6446. But I would recommend trying the general phone number. Most people have a long-distance service. It's cheap enough. Area code 614-466-2655. Part of the suppress the vote measure that seems to be happening nationwide. Or is it? Could it be that this is just somebody deciding all of a sudden, hey, you know, it's important to enforce the law? Our telephone number to be on the program, 1-866-889-8894. And Dave in Columbus, Ohio, the belly of the beast there is on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I'm great. We've only got about a minute, Dave, although I can hold you over if you want.
Well, I can answer one of the questions for you real quick. Blackwell is a Republican and probably going to be one of the leading candidates for governor next election season.
Surprise, surprise.
Now, also, you might want to check out the Dispatch, the local newspaper's website. It's dispatch.com. On the metro section, which is the city section, there's another story about absentee ballots and a challenge on that too.
Yeah. So yeah. This does this look to you, Dave, like you're there in Columbus, Ohio. Does this look to you like a voter suppression effort?
I don't know. This is really the first I've heard of it.
Time will tell.
Of it. So, I registered through the library, and there's all kinds of ways to register. There's still time to register.
Get out there and do it. Ken,
get
out there and do it. Ken, or Dave, I'm sorry, we're out of time here. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. Again, the number is 614-466-2655 for the Ohio Secretary of State. It's Tom Harpin here with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Hey, California, where is your tax money going? To Walmart, of course. A new study released by UC Berkeley reveals that the low wages paid at Walmart stores forces employees to accept about $86 million annually in public assistance programs. That includes $32 million annually in health-related service and $54 million per year in services such as food stamps and subsidized housing. Walmart employees in that state earn on average 31% less than workers in the retail sector as a whole.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world, and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity. Conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh says this about the book.
Quote it everywhere. Buy 10 books and give them away. Don't let this action go unheard. You may feel like a voice in the wilderness, but it is your voice we're waiting to hear. Yours is the crucial vote. You are the determining factor. We reach critical mass when we reach you, and you choose to reach others with the simple message of this book. Let us act at last in the best interest of all. Then the sun will shine another day, and another still, and life will not merely go on, but achieve its highest expression, its grandest glory, its greatest joy. Can we give this gift to our children? Please say yes.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, if you're a Democrat, you're going to be a nowhere man. In many states, the voter suppression efforts on the part of the Republicans are well underway, cranking along, boogie, boogie, boogie. Keep those folks from voting. Keep them out of the way. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Ken in Warren, Michigan, on the line. Hey, Ken, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're live. What's
how
up?
How are you today, sir?
I am great, but I'll get better. And you, Ken.
Okay. I listened to your program as soon as it started, and I called that number, 614-466-2655. The first time, I got nobody said a word. I just went on hold music, and then I hung up. I waited about 5 minutes, and I hung up, and I tried it again. And guess what? Same thing.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word.
Well, they're probably getting so many calls right now that the secretary doesn't have time to say, please hold. A couple of folks in our chat room, actually one of them in Ohio, are also on hold. So we'll see what happens. If feel free to encourage if you actually get through to an elected official. The wild thing would be if anybody actually got through to J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican Secretary of State. If you get through to anybody who's willing to speak on the record, give them the phone number for this show. Give them our toll free number 1-866-889-8894, and I'll put them on the air. If this is something that's totally on the up and up, I think our listeners should know about it. On the other hand, if it's some kind of weasel effort, I think our listeners should know about that too.
I agree 100% because I understand it right here in Michigan. There's a lot of people that they're trying to convince Democrats not to vote for Kerry,
or not to vote at all.
I put two lawn signs, Kerry signs, on my front lawn and had them both removed by other people.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around, too. Of course, that happens on both sides, but I'm really getting a sense this year that those on the right, you get this just so clearly from, like, watching faux news and things like that, that those on the right who really fundamentally don't believe in democracy, they don't believe in honest debate, what they believe in is power and win at all cost. And the divine right of cash, basically, the divine right of capital, to quote Marjorie Kelly. So, Ken, thanks for the call. And, keep it up. Let us know if you get through to anybody in Ohio there.
I will do that.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. 1-866-889-8894. Kevin in Tampa, Florida on the line. Hey, Kevin, hurricane missed you again.
No, in fact, Iwan right over where I live.
Oh, that's right, Tampa, yeah, but you survived.
I survived. We only had some branches down, that was all.
Well, that's good, that's great. What's up?
Florida, the other epicenter, besides Ohio, for suppressing the vote.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, well, first off, about Ohio,
uh-huh.
That's going to court, and they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you knew.
But it'll be after the date. I mean,
well,
you know.
I don't know. No, the federal courts will rush that.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the lawsuit that went to appeals court in Atlanta yesterday about Florida?
No. I mean, it may be in my stack of stuff here, and I'm not pulling it off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, what happened was Congressman Wexler, he's the congressman in West Palm.
Mm-hmm.
He sued them over the 15 counties that don't have the paper trail using the Gore.
I did read that, yes.
Okay. Well, the appeals, it was thrown out by the district court, the appeals court in Atlanta, which is a conservative court. The appeals court threw it back to the district, and they chastised the court and Jeb Bush at the same time.
Yeah.
And they said the people in Florida deserve equal protection. They deserve to be heard. And they instructed the district court to bring this to a hearing immediately.
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of, what do you want to say, conservatives with, you know, who really believe in America and have a conscience. And there are many of them out there. They may be misguided in some areas, but there are some very good patriotic conservatives.
Well, you get the judges on the court. They're not going to be necessarily sided by the political wrangling is going on. And this is obvious when you take that state representative or state senator, whatever he was, up in Michigan, who said that the vote in Detroit has to be suppressed.
Yes, that was a couple of weeks ago.
This is a Republican operation.
Oh, it's a nationwide effort on the part of the Republicans to suppress the vote. And it's one of the things, negative campaigning primarily suppresses the vote.
Yes.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 29 minutes past the hour.
This is what Ralph Nader has to say about embryonic stem cell research. That's right, not a word. John Kerry has vowed to lift the Bush administration's stifling restrictions, restrictions that could be cruelly delaying cures and treatments. Why the silence? Maybe Ralph Nader worries you might not like what he has to say. Or maybe he just doesn't care. The Committee for Advancement of Stem Cell Research approved this message. It was not approved by any candidate or any candidate's committee. Visit CASCR.org.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer Agip was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbuster's website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a workplace decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the act, urge him to pledge his support. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.com.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Come together.
Unless you're a Democrat.
Or a liberal or a progressive or a green or anybody who's not going to vote with the cons, then you can't come together. You can't vote. Apparently in Ohio, not too liberal in the screen name in our chat room. By the way, you can get to our chat room by going to tomhartman.com. It's T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, but however you spell it should get you there. And just click live chat. Takes you to the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. If you're an AOL or CompuServe member, plug in your screen name and password. Boom, you're in. If you're not an AOL or CompuServe member, you can sign up right there on the screen. You're not actually signing up for AOL or CompuServe. You're just signing up to be in this forum. There's no fee. There's no credit card. None of that nonsense. You do have to put in a real email address. That's so that we can keep out the spammers and the predators and the wacko, you know, people who... But dissenting opinions, of course, are welcome. This is not a censored chat room. But in any case, Not Too Liberal says, I got through to Secretary of State in Ohio. I was put on hold for 10 minutes, and then they hung up on me. I was transferred to three different people, but then someone hung up on me. What a surprise. The telephone number, again, for the Secretary of State of Ohio, 1-614, which, of course, is Central Ohio, area code 614-466-2655. If you'd like to ask them, what's the deal with the 80-pound paper? Are you all trying to suppress the vote of Democrats? Is this some kind of Republican scam going on? 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Jim in Atlanta, Georgia, is on the line. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Tom.
Good to hear from you.
I just called Mr. Blackwell, and I didn't get through to him. They did put me on hold for about a minute or so listening to Muzak. And I finally got through to a lady, and she wanted to transfer me. And I said, well, no, while I've got you, just let me speak to you. You can just hand him a message. And I just asked her, I said, what are you doing? Are you trying to become another Florida? And were they prepared for the wrath of the Democratic Party to descend upon them?
Yeah.
And I said, it's a funny thing to me that local governments are trying to suppress all this, and could you just please give me an answer of what you're doing?
And what'd she say?
She wanted to transfer me to a PR guy.
Right.
I said, no, please. I said, you are the one I'm speaking with. I'd love for you to just give me an answer. I was very polite to her.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, anyway, she didn't want to answer. So I said, well, I hope that you are ready for 5 million people to descend upon your little city. And that I hope that they make their way into your office.
Yeah.
And I asked her if George Bush and the Republican Party are helping them outfit their police as jackbooted thugs to defend their capital.
Yeah.
And she kind of beat around the bush a little bit, and I said, well, could you just please pass the message? And she goes, I've got a lot of messages to pass. I've been answering the phone for the last 4.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and on it goes.
Call them up.
There you go. There you go. Well done.
Thanks,
Jim.
Tom.
Thanks a lot. You're a great role model for all of us. The number of the Ohio Secretary of State's office, his name, the Republican Secretary of State, who has decided that if you register to vote on the wrong weight of paper, that they're going to kick it back. And there have been all these people all over Ohio on these voter registration things using copied voter registration forms, using copies that they made at Kinko's and whatnot, which you can do in pretty much every state. And there's this arcane, this old Ohio law that says it must be an 80-pound paper, which is very heavy paper. It's almost cardstock. And it's because in the old days they used to keep these things on record, on file. Now they, of course, digitize them. So it's not even there's no logical reason for this other than saying, hey, we don't want any newly registered voters. The Republican J. Kenneth Blackwell is the Ohio Secretary of State. His address is 180 East Broad Street, 16th floor, Columbus, Ohio, 43215. And the telephone number is 614-466-2655. Area code 614-466-2655 for the Ohio Secretary of State. And let's find out, what are these guys trying to do? Are you trying to rig the vote, or is there some real reason why you've got to have this stuff on 80-pound paper all of a sudden? Did you enforce this law in the last election? Did you enforce this law 6 months ago? Did you get the order to enforce this law from Karl Rove? Whose idea was this anyway? These are some of the questions I'd like to ask. They haven't been kind enough to connect me to anybody who will speak to me. Maybe they'll talk to you. Area code 614-466-2655 for the Ohio Secretary of State. Our number, if you'd like to call in, 1-866-889-8894. Number 12, taxi driver number 12 in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, number 12, what's happening in your world?
I like the idea of there being a paper trail for the vote. I think there should be a paper trail going in and a paper trail going out. I really think people should prove, you can get a driver's license in this country if you're not a citizen. And in a lot of cases, you can go down and vote with one of those things. You can get a voter registration card. I think you should basically have to prove your citizenship to be able to vote, and you should get a paper trail for the vote you cast. I don't think it's a right. You know, you could say it's a right like the freedom of speech, but it's basically a right for citizens. It's not like, the right to due process, the right to freedom of speech, and anybody can come to this country and be tried by a jury or exercise your right to freedom of speech, but I don't think illegal immigrants should be allowed to vote in this country, and I think that there's a big possibility of that happening if they can get some other form of ID to sort of fool somebody that they're a citizen.
You know, broadly, number 12, I agree with you. But I think that the way to deal with it is not to require proof of citizenship at the time you register to vote. It's to require proof of citizenship to get a driver's license. And if you're not a citizen, then it gets noted on your driver's license. Because there are people who are legally in this country, and they need to get driver's licenses, and it's appropriate that they have driver's licenses.
Yes,
but I absolutely agree with you, and I know it's very impolitic to say, and all the liberals and all the Democrats, particularly in California, where so many people really appreciate that $3 an hour cleaning the pool labor and all the illegal immigrants coming in and doing well. For that matter, it's done here in Vermont. During the summer, there are illegal immigrants up here in Vermont building houses, and it's all over the country. And I think it's wrong. I absolutely agree. And I don't think that makes me a right winger. I just think it's wrong. I think you have national borders and you have citizenship or you don't. And right now we have a mess. We have a full blown flat out mess. So I don't disagree with you. But I think that the way to do it is not to require proof of citizenship at the time you register to vote, allow a driver's license to be that. But if somebody's not a citizen, when they get a driver's license, there should be a little flag on there that says not a citizen. That would do it. That would do it. Thanks, number 12, for the call. Always good to hear from you. 1-866-889, even when we do disagree or agree. 1-866-889-8894. Thomas in Virginia on the line. Hey, Thomas, what's up?
How you doing, Mr. Hartman? I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Great. Thank you.
The thing that troubles me about this, I'm not from Ohio, but the thing that bothers me is I've been to both candidates' website, and they both have forms for you to print out on your computer.
Right,
on
a state-by-state basis. Yeah, I know. I know. And it turns out now the Ohio Secretary of State is saying, gotcha. Sorry.
I called a few minutes ago, and unlike that guy, I never spoke to anybody. They just put me on hold, and then they came back, and they put me on hold again, and then finally they disconnected me after being on hold for about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it may be that they're genuinely. I mean, let's keep in mind, first of all, that until you get to Kenneth Blackwell himself, the Republican appointee, the majority of the people that you're talking to, and I think this is really important to keep in mind when you're calling any kind of government agency, are people just like you and me who are just trying to, put food on the put food on their family, to quote George Bush, to put food on the table, who are looking, they're civil servants. They're people who've probably been working there 10, 15 years under Democrat and administrative and Republican administrations. They don't have any particular axe to grind. This is coming from the top down. So please be very kind and courteous to the people answering the phone. They have a hard job, and they're dealing with a lot of folks. But when the tough questions need to be asked of J. Kenneth Blackwell, this Republican Ohio Secretary of State, who's apparently I don't want to make absolute statements about what he's up to, because I just honestly don't know, and I wish he would come on this program or in any other public venue and answer these questions honestly and straightforwardly.
Well, there's definitely an agenda, and I appreciate you taking my call, and don't let up, Tom. Keep on them.
I won't. Thanks for listening, Thomas. I do appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's go to Sean in Virginia. Hey, it's Virginia Day. What's up, Sean?
Oh, not much. I wanted to call and compliment your show.
Thank you.
You guys do an excellent job, A+. I especially appreciate your wisdom and, your knowledge in history. and economic, which you don't really get on the left channel.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the economics are the key to the whole thing. The whole right-wing agenda really boils down to economics, and most people just don't get that. It can be boiled down to two words: cheap labor, and the rich getting richer. It's neo-feudalism. Well, you've heard that rant. That's not what I'm. You know, I'm sure you didn't call to get me started on one of those again. So,
well, no, but it's nice to be able to get somebody, because I learn a lot from you, and economics is. It's a real cornerstone and, you know, how things work in this country.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you are broken up on the Sirius an hour in the day, I guess, and 2 hours at night.
Yeah, the second and third hour of our program are run in the evening on Sirius. Yeah.
Well, more like in the morning, I think. It's like midnight or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's late at night.
Believe it or not, I really listen to both segments most times throughout the week, and thought it would, be nice if Sirius took note of that. You deserve 3 hours, you know, right in the middle of the day.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, Sean. I don't tell my affiliates, and Sirius is just one of many affiliates. We're on radio stations as well all across the country, how to program their stations. They have to make those decisions. I trust their wisdom in making, you know, what they think are the very best decisions for their listeners. I do always encourage our listeners to let their local radio stations know if they like the program or if they don't like the program, for that matter. I mean, you know, it's a, radio stations want feedback. They want to hear from people. And of course, to let advertisers know. If you support a program or if you don't support a program, contact their advertisers and thank them or, you know, discourage them. Because that's really the leverage point. But the bottom line is, you know, Sirius or any other venue, they make their decisions, and God bless them. I'm just very grateful to be on Sirius. It's a great distribution system. And,
yeah, I'm
very
grateful also. I guess I could call the, you know, preview. Is there a programming number at Sirius?
There is, but I'm not going to give it out on the air.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure if you call their switchboard, you can get through to whoever's in charge.
Sure.
Sean,
sure.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I don't want to, you know, get into programming stuff beyond that, but I do appreciate your kind words about the program, and give the Ohio Secretary of State a call while you're at it. You know, it's area code. That's area code 614-466-2655. So
I'll do that.
Okay, Sean, thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. I do appreciate it. 15 minutes before the hour, it's the Tom Hartman program. Our telephone number, 1-866-889-8894. A lot of interesting things in the news today that we're going to be getting into too. I think here's a shocker. I just have to share this with you real quickly before we go we've got a couple other callers here. But a recent court decision, this from the Media General News Service, it was in today's my local newspaper, here in the People's Republic of Vermont, the little town Montpelier. A recent court decision could make it easier for the government or your internet service provider to read your email. This is the case of a guy by the name of Bradford Councilman. I know it sounds like a title, but this is actually his name, Bradford Councilman. He was the VP of an ISP, the vice president of an internet service provider. Internet service provider is one of these companies that, you know, you dial into to get your internet access. And he was involved in selling books. He's got a business on the side selling books online. And he had set up an automatic thing that read every email that anybody who was using his ISP sent or received looking for the word Amazon. And whenever that came in, he had it duplicated and sent off to a folder on his computer where he could read your email. And, you know, trying to find out what Amazon was up to so he could compete with them. This was challenged in court. And a federal court dismissed the charge against him, saying that it did not constitute an illegal wiretap. And the reason that they said is because for an illegal wiretap to happen, it has to be in real time. In other words, if I'm talking to you on the telephone, that's real time. To get a wiretap, they have to jump through all kinds of hoops. Even a magistrate can't give that order. It has to be an actual judge. But because your email is stored on the ISP's server, it's not considered real time. It's considered storage. And this, according to this ruling now, any ISP can read your email anytime they want for any reason. They don't have to tell you. There's no laws about it. This is spooky stuff. This is really spooky stuff. And of course, they can share it with government agencies or anybody else they want. For that matter, they could post it on the web. They could print it in the local newspaper, I suppose. Just speculating there, but strange news. News of the weird, maybe, or just news of, you know, welcome to the post-Patriot Act world. Alan in Missouri is on the line, 1-866-889-8894, a telephone number. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and they have two newspapers there, and I sent letters to both papers.
Uh-huh.
And one of them prints out the letter and just with very little changes, and the other one would chop up my letter so much that it almost changes the meaning of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty pitiful.
Well, you know, sometimes newspapers do this just for space purposes. And what they're trying to do is get as many, you know, letters to the editor in as they can and to prevent a diversity, a wide variety of viewpoints. And so they do edit letters. Other newspapers don't get so many letters, so they can run longer letters. My guess is that may be it. But on the other hand, I know, a good friend of mine is the editor of a newspaper here in Vermont, and I know that there are folks who have political agendas out there who will edit your letters in ways to make you look silly or whatever, or to emphasize your point if they agree with you. And, life in the big city. The bottom line is that our ability to communicate, Alan, goes beyond just writing letters to the editor of the newspaper, although that's an important thing. It's an absolutely important thing. But it's to talk to everybody you know. Keep the word going. This is the Tom Hartman Program, 10 minutes before the hour.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. Add $4.99 a month per second in each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call
now. It's time for This Billionaire Moment.
A criminal investigation is underway over Halliburton's $180 million payment to Nigerian officials for a natural gas project back when Dick Cheney was the CEO. Critics call this bribery, but in many countries, bribes are just part of the political culture. Why should Dick's company be punished for being sensitive to local customs? You give money to politicians and they give favors to you. We do it all the time here in the U.S., only we call it a campaign contribution, and no one seems to object. South of the border, it's la mordita, the little bite, and in the Middle East, it's bakshish. No matter what you call it, it's smart business. I'm Zina Fobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Kick up the billionaire!
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Do you have a dust mask? Well, if you use a bagless vacuum and you're sensitive to dust, a leading consumer magazine products testing magazine warns you should wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL risk-free for 30 days. It uses triple-walled disposable filter bags. Try emptying a bagless vacuum and see what happens. Dust gets all over your hands and face and back into the room and on the kitchen counter. And you get to breathe it in? I believe a vacuum should capture the dust, not your lungs. That's why with my Auric XL, the filter bags are self-sealing. What goes in the bag stays in the bag, even when you empty it. So try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to...
This is a Wynn feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. The PBGC was created in 1974 to ensure protected or defined benefit plans, which are a dying breed because workers receive a guaranteed amount of money regardless of their company's investment performance. Most workers are now offered 401k plans, which are not insured and based on the whims of the stock market. Douglas Elliott is president and author of the Coffee Report.
Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation was set up like the FDIC to guarantee bank deposits. The PBGC guarantees that if you are promised a pension, that company goes bankrupt, and there's not enough money in the pension fund, you'll still get the pension.
U.S. Airways announced on Sunday it was returning to bankruptcy for the second time after having already terminated the pilot's pension plan. And now it's revealed intentions to terminate the pensions for all of its other labor union employees.
There's a limit on how much is guaranteed. One of the limitations is that no more than, I think, $44,000 a year of pension will be guaranteed. And there are people in these unions that will earn pensions greater than that. The amount in excess of that limit, they will not receive.
In principle, corporations are required to contribute enough money to the PBGC to cover all future pension payments. But employers are getting around their obligations by abusing flexibility on the timing of their contributions.
There needs to be a different balance, either less risk being taken on or more premiums to offset that risk. And it was kind of masked in the 90s when everybody was seeming to do much better than they really were. And stock prices were high, which helped pension funds that invested in stocks. And it also made it less likely that companies would go bankrupt.
Elliott says that to date, American corporations have promised their employees more than $1.5 trillion worth of pension payments. And if they can't pay out, the burden falls on the PBGC and ultimately the U.S. taxpayer. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
So just because he wasn't really elected.
Oh, he wasn't? I thought he was. Well, maybe not.
Just because that ballot count wasn't fair.
Well, they just disenfranchised 30, 40, 50,000 people.
Him and all his friends are millionaires.
Yeah.
Don't care.
You don't want me singing on
here.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman. Yeah, the George W. Bush song. Welcome back, Tom Hartman. Here with you 4 minutes before the hour. Somebody in our chat room. By the way, drop into our chat room. It is a hoot. You have people from all over the United States. We have folks in there from Southeast Asia. There's a member from Tokyo in today. We have a regular member in South Korea who usually drops in. He's not in there today. A friend of ours from Norway is in the chat room. Drop by TomHartman.com, click on live chat. It'll take you there. I think one of the finest places on the internet. And also one of the great things about the folks in our chat room is that, they're on the internet while I'm on the air. Not only do they keep me straight, if I go off on some tangent or I get some information wrong, they can set me up just instantly. It's a marvelous interactive tool. But they also find information that you might not otherwise know. For example, the personal email address for J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State of Ohio, the Republican who has decreed that if you print off one of these internet forms to register voters, as so many idealistic young Ohioans have done to get out the vote, that if it's not printed on 80-pound paper, which is nearly cardstock, they're not going to accept it. His private email address, apparently, maybe it goes through his secretary, who knows, but here it is, Blackwell, BLACKWELL, at SOS, which I assume stands for Secretary of State, Blackwell at SOS.state.OH, as in Ohio, .US. Blackwell at SOS.state.OH.US. Their telephone number, area code 614-466-2646. 855. And finally, our just, you know, little idiosyncrasy of the day. The Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy has decided to pass out those little squeezy things that you can squeeze in your hand to relieve stress. Right? They're supposed to help out stressed out disabled workers. So they bought thousands of dollars worth of these things, shaped in as red, white, and blue stars, imported from China. They're giving them to workers who can't find a job. Isn't the Bush administration awesome? Isn't it just amazing? Tom Hartman here with you. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio. And no, it's not a train. It's the real thing.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer Agip was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbuster's website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a workplace decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the act, urge him to pledge his support. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There, there.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream for some of us.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
Whoa, what's this? A maverick sitting smack dab in the economic mainstream, damming up the conventional wisdom. Paul Samuelson is the Nobel Prize-winning economist whose basic textbook has defined economic orthodoxy for decades. Now, at 89, the old professor is daring to defy the orthodoxy on a crucial matter of current economic policy, the offshoring of America's middle-class jobs. The standard line from economists, CEOs, politicians, and pundits is that, yes, America has been losing our good manufacturing jobs and now also our high-tech jobs. But not to worry, they shrug, claiming that while some people end up losers, others become big winners, and in the long run, our economy always, always comes out ahead. Thus, say the economists, taking a self-satisfied puff on their pipes, the free trade rush to offshoring is nothing but a benefit, and no one should criticize it, much less try to stop it. Samuelson, however, flatly dismisses such Pollyannish assertions as polemical untruth. More to the point, he says it is dead wrong to pretend that free trade and offshoring always work to the advantage of the U.S. economy. Noting that nearly all big corporations are in hot global pursuit of low-cost workers, Samuelson bluntly says, if you don't believe that changes average wages in America, then you believe in the tooth fairy. Indeed, average wages in our country have not even kept up with inflation in the last few years. This esteemed economist also whacks another favorite myth of the powers that be, namely that offshoring helps working families by putting cheaper goods from China on our shelves. But Samuelson points out, being able to purchase groceries 20% cheaper at Walmart does not necessarily make up for the wage losses. This is Jim Hightower saying, at last, here's an economist confirming what ordinary folks have long known from experience.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. Broadcasting live, literally all across the planet, from high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, where it's turning out to be a little bit of a cloudy day. The maple trees across the street here are just starting to turn yellow. Be another, I'm guessing, another week or two before the fall foliage colors hit. Boy, do they hit. It is incredible. We're going to run a contest here in a few minutes. Maybe I'll wait until the bottom of the hour on this thing. Well, no, we'll get into anyhow. I've got to just give you a heads up. We're going to have a contest. I'm going to give you a few quotes, and if you can guess who said these things, then you will get a bumper sticker. a bumper sticker which says, one person, one vote, and there's an asterisk there, and below in parentheses it says, may not apply in certain states. And up at the top it says Bush with a flag, and then there's the round circle with a diagonal, you know, round red circle with a diagonal line through it over the word Bush, as in no Bush. One person, one vote, may not apply in certain states. So stick around for that. I'll be reading that to you. First, a quick news story, and we'll go to our telephone calls. 1-866, by the way, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. If you'd like to drop into the chat room, which is live and full of activity, some of the finest and most intelligent conversation on the whole of the Internet, you can find it at TomHartmann.com. The message boards are more like a blog. It's like a permanent, continuous discussion. There's literally tens of thousands of messages there and conversations you can participate in. But the real live interactive chat is hosted, sponsored for us by the fine folks of the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. And just go to TomHartmann.com and click live chat, and it'll take you there. This news from Andy Borowitz, the Borowitz Report. Of course, you know. One of the most interesting things, I thought, about the statistics of the Bush-Gore debate 4 years ago was that those people who watched the debate, I was one of them, watched all of the debates, generally thought Al Gore, you know, won. Al Gore absolutely, I mean, you know, mopped up the floor with George Bush, even though George Bush was, you know, openly lying about who he was and what he was all about and what his plans were for his presidency. We've gone through that list of lies on many occasions here on this program. Virtually none of his campaign promises have been kept. In fact, he's done the absolute opposite of most of them. But what's interesting is that the polls of people who actually watched the debates said that Al Gore won the debates, but the polls of the people who didn't watch the debates but did listen to the media coverage of the debates found that those people who only listened to the media coverage of the debates, that is the pundits discussing the debates, they thought Bush had won. The reason why being, of course, that James Baker III, the guy who's now representing the Saudis against the families of 9/11 victims and who negotiated the rules of the debate on behalf of George W. Bush this time and last, and who was the guy who fixed Florida and all that, at least according to him when he was in Russia. James Baker and company, Karl Rove and whatnot, they had set Americans' expectations so low that if George Bush didn't go in and drool on camera, everybody would have said, gee, he did a whole lot better than we thought. He must, you know, and the implied outcome was that he won. And, well, they're playing that game again. And Andy Borowitz just lays it bare. Here's the headline, lowering expectations for debate. White House says Bush has IQ of 67. In what some political insiders are calling an attempt to lower expectations in the days leading up to the first presidential debate, writes Andy Borowitz, the White House today announced that President Bush has an IQ of 67. White House spokesman Scott McClellan told reporters, the president is far, far less intelligent than is commonly thought. Even the simplest tasks remain well beyond his reach, reinforcing the impression that the president will be overmatched in Thursday's debate with Senator John Kerry. Mr. McClellan showed reporters never-before-seen footage of Mr. Bush oafishly tumbling from his mountain bike. What a moron, Mr. McClellan said. The White House spokesman said that Mr. Bush cannot possibly be expected to do well in a debate with Senator Kerry, who Mr. McClellan says has an IQ of 193 and is widely considered the best debater on the planet. End quote. But within minutes of the White House press conference, Kerry spokesman Joe Lockhart fired back, telling reporters, John Kerry is much stupider than he looks. As evidence of Mr. Kerry's idiocy, Mr. Lockhart referred to the floral-patterned windsurfing pants the senator wears while enjoying his favorite water sport. His butt looks enormous in those pants, Mr. Lockhart said. What kind of moron would leave the White House with his butt looking like that? Elsewhere, Secretary of State of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said today, it was unfair to compare the upcoming Iraq election with those held in America, quote, except for Florida, end quote. Thanks to Andy Borowitz, theborowitzreport.com, for our top news story of the hour. 7 minutes past the hour. 12 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Our number 1-866-889-8894. For those of you just tuning in, if you're curious as to why the Ohio Secretary of State has decided not to accept voter registration forms unless they're printed on 80-pound paper, which is very, very heavyweight paper, almost like cardstock or coated stock, which goes back, it's an old law that goes back to the days when they had to keep these things forever. Now, of course, they digitize them all, store them on computers. Call Kenneth Blackwell. He's the Republican Ohio Secretary of State who just made this decision. His number, area code 614-466-2655. And now let's go to our phone lines and tell them, by the way, to feel free to call into our program. Our telephone, I'd love to hear from Kenneth Blackwell. Our telephone number, 1-866-889-8894. When I called his office this morning, I ended up on hold for 20 minutes, and finally they said, nobody's going to talk to you. Tough luck. Leave a message, well, you know how it is. They were more polite than that, frankly. And keep in mind, when you call, you're talking to somebody who's just doing their job. The people who answer the phones are not the political hacks. They're civil servants. They're people just like you and me. They're just trying to make a living. Be nice to them. It's Kenneth Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, the Republican who ran for that office, who I think, frankly, the hard question should be put to. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Tony in Washington, D.C. on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
How you doing? I called.
You called the Ohio Secretary of State?
I sure did.
And what happened?
It put me through people on staff to the election department.
Uh-huh.
And I gave my name, my phone number. I said I have relatives up there, and I wanted to make sure that they know about the information about the limitation on their right to vote.
And what do they say?
They'll get back to me. They said a lot of people have been calling about that.
What a surprise. What a surprise.
So I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I did call, and I would tell anybody who has a conscience to call about this travesty.
Yeah. The other question that I would have, and probably Ken Blackwell's not the guy, I should track this down. I reported here about a month ago that over 100,000 people were purged from the voting rolls in Hamilton County, Ohio, because they were had suddenly discovered that they were felons. And I'm wondering if this is the same as the so-called felon list in Florida, where 70,000-80,000 people, the number is still in dispute, were purged from the Florida voting rolls just before the 2000 election, who predominantly lived in African-American communities because they had names that were not identical but similar to the names of felons in Texas. And, is the same thing going on in Ohio? I have a feeling Ohio is going to be the big story in 2004. If Bush is finally elected, is going to be what happened in Ohio. Although shenanigans are going on in Michigan as well. You've got the two Republican elected officials now are in charge of the vote in Michigan, and it's just it gets wilder and wilder.
I don't understand why they're doing it. They're supposed to be so high up in the polls. Why do they have to go through these third-rate?
They're doing it because, as John Adams said, you can't trust the rabble. You know,
right.
I mean, this is the, Tony, this is the fundamental philosophical difference between conservatives and liberals. Conservatives have, and they have for 200 years, and Hamilton and Adams were classic examples of this, and they really, they were patriots, and they really believed that this was the way, and a lot of conservatives are patriots, and they really believe that they're right, that you can't trust the average person, that if you allow all the people to vote all the time, and just that they will simply vote themselves unlimited welfare, they'll all quit working. They'll simply raise everybody's taxes and go on the dole. The reality, as Thomas Jefferson pointed out, is that if you trust the people, as Jefferson believed in, if you absolutely trust the people and allow the people to make the decisions, then when they make stupid decisions, they will immediately suffer the consequences of those decisions and they won't make those kinds of decisions again. In other words, it's a self-correcting mechanism. Whereas if you have a ruling elite, like with feudalism and kingdoms and theocracies, like much of civilization, civilization, what we call Western civilization, suffered under for thousands of years, you can have generations where stupid decisions are perpetuated because there is no system of checks and balances. There is no immediate consequence. They just allow the poor to suffer the consequences of it. And that's Reaganomics, Bushonomics, Clintonomics, for that matter, to a large extent, and George W.-onomics, trickle-on economics. And it's and it comes out of this belief, a fundamental distrust, frankly, a mistrust of democracy.
This doesn't incite people. I mean, Kentucky, obviously, this doesn't incite people in Ohio and other Midwest states to register to vote. I don't know what will.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Good to hear. Always good to hear from you there in Washington, D.C. I do appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Billy in Santa Cruz, California on the line. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
Hi, Tom. When are you going to stop lying to America?
I'm lying to America again, huh, Billy? What's that?
Well, you keep calling this thing on Thursday night a debate. Now tell the truth.
I said yesterday, Billy, that if this thing is to debates, what Frontierland in Disney World is to the Wild West.
You know,
and I was quoting somebody on NPR, by the way. It's not an original one for me, but you know that.
Still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's constantly refer to these guys with the proper epithet. Whenever you speak about the president, instead of calling him the president, refer to him as the coward George Bush. Refer to Cheney as the treasonous Cheney. Now, why do I call Bush a coward?
Go for it.
Well, isn't it obvious? Did you hear the rules that Bush needed to have before he was willing to actually debate Kerry?
Yeah, I can give you a long list of his cowardice, but frankly, I don't see that among them. I see that more as James Baker in there. At the same time that he is the attorney defending Saudi Arabia against the 9/11 families, he is working with George Bush to try and get every possible advantage, set the situation up in a way that's going to work to the advantage of Bush and to the disadvantage of Kerry, which is just that's his job.
Of America.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
When you don't have a real debate, when you make rules that say you can't speak directly to the other guy.
I know, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
It's completely nuts, and we have to continue to let America know that what we believe about America has turned into a sham. The election is dishonest, and George Bush will never be our president. He will always be our embarrassment.
Our embarrassment. Well said, Billy. Thank you very much for the call. When we come back, we'll hear from Howard Beal on that. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do they know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In vacuums, bagless is a dirty word. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. And if you own one, they advise you to wear a dust mask. I would never put the Orrick name on a bagless vacuum. They're filthy. My hypoallergenic Orrick XL uses triple-walled disposable filter bags. They hold four times more than the leading brand of bagless vacuums. What goes in the Orrick bag stays in the bag, including bacteria and viruses. Empty a bagless vacuum, and the dust goes right back into the room you've just cleaned. Is this sanitary? Orrick cleans the air as it vacuums the floor.
Try my 8-pound Auric XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. It's the clean alternative to bagless vacuum.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Due to the rising rate of overweight Americans, more hospitals are being forced to spend money on patient lift systems and specialized hospital beds and wheelchairs. The U.S. Center of Disease Control reports that 65% of American adults are overweight and 31% are obese. Sizewise Rentals, whom specializes in medical equipment for the obese, has reported its business growing 15 to 20% each year.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
He took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And he charged the people a dollar and a half to see them.
And welcome back, Tom Hartman, with you 24 minutes past the hour. In the spirit of Billy's Call from the Movie Network. Howard Beale.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out.
Now, I'm going to pause Howard there for just a moment. If you can't go to your window, you can call the Ohio Secretary of State, J. Kenneth Blackwell, at area code 614-466-2655. And,
Yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Yes, thank you, Howard. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Our number, 1-866-889-8894. Louise comes in and tells me, informs me that she just called the PR person for Kenneth Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, was, of course, unable to get a human being, got voicemail, and said, we're getting a lot of concerned listeners about what's going on in Ohio. We would love to have Mr. Blackwell on the program as a guest. We will be respectful toward him and allow him to say his piece. We'd like to know what's going on so that we can make sure that we have the story straight. And she left the private line into the studio here, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. 26 minutes past the hour coming up on here. 1-866. We've got a contest coming up after the bottom of the hour for a bumper sticker, one person, one vote, with an asterisk, may not apply in certain states, a Ban Bush bumper sticker. That should be fun. And a few other news stories, interesting things. First, let's just take a phone call here. This is Billy, another Billy, Billy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I just calling to apologize for passing on what turned out to be inaccurate information yesterday about the price of gold.
Oh, no problem. I was pretty sure that it wasn't 480 or whatever. It was 409 this morning's paper. But it's still,
right.
I mean, the point that you made is still a very valid point. And that is that the U.S. currency is being deflated, or devalued rather, inflated. And most Americans haven't seen the consequences of it and don't understand the significance of it. And it is showing up. It's showing up in a whole lot of areas. It's showing up in housing values. It's showing up in the price of gold. It's showing up in the price of oil. And soon we're going to be paying a significant price for this, particularly the middle class.
Well, that turned out to be a misprint in our local paper here, and you can imagine my eyes just bugged out when I saw it, because
yeah.
That would be a huge story.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. But no need to apologize, Billy. We keep it straight here. You know, it's truth is a pretty high value on this program, and that's why when you called and you said that, I said, you know, I don't think so. And it's funny, I checked out this morning's paper. In fact, I'd made a note to myself to discuss it today, and it's way down in my pile. But problem. No problem. I would much rather have people call and say, hey, you know, here's something. What do you think of this? Is this true or not? Let's get the discussion going than not. I really appreciate the call.
Yeah, if nothing else, it certainly stimulated some conversation, didn't it?
It did. It did. And like I said, I mean, the gestalt, the larger point, the real issue there is a significant one. It's a real one. It's worthy of consideration. And frankly, I will be amazed if 12 to 18 months from now, the price of gold isn't pushing $500 an ounce. So, you know, or rather the value of the dollar isn't down to the point where it takes 500 of them to buy an ounce of gold.
Yeah, I actually think it'll be a lot sooner than that.
I suspect it will. I mean, they are, you know, the old Dutch fable about the little boy with his finger in the dike. The Bush administration, I mean, virtually everybody except Colin Powell, who has this nasty habit of telling the truth, it seems, or something close to it, you know. It's like you can see them all over the dike, you know, with all their fingers and all these, you know, just holding it together, hold it together until November 2nd. Come on, you know, just this lie and that lie and this. It's mind-boggling. Just
right,
mind-boggling. Well,
that's why we don't see much of Colin Powell anymore.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, I saw him on Fox News when I was sitting in the airport on Sunday night. And a guy who looks like Forrest Sawyer, I don't know if he is or not, he says, so is John Kerry criticizing the war, harming our efforts and helping the enemy? It's like, come on. And Powell, to his credit, didn't take the bait. He wasn't enough of a fool. Billy, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer Egypt was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbusters' website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a workplace decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the act, urge him to pledge his support. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Pancho was a bandit boy. Gun outside his pants for all the honest world feel.
I could play Willie Nelson all day.
Yeah,
actually, when I started in radio in 1960, either 67 or 68, I was a hardcore rock and roll teenager, and my first job was in a country western radio station as a DJ, and I thought, oh my God, what is this stuff? And I got to tell you, there is some brilliant music out there. But that's not what you want to hear about. Anyway, we've got this contest going. Oh, come on, Willie.
Only let him slip away.
Yes. Anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And the reason I let you know that is because we're going to do our contest right now. Please do not dial until I have finished these quotes. Please do not dial until I finish these quotes. And then the first person to correctly name the person who said, and I have 6 quotes here that I'm going to read to you. And the first person to correctly identify who said these things will receive a bush with a red circle and a diagonal line through it sticker that says one person, one vote with an asterisk, a very conspicuous asterisk. And then underneath in fairly large type, there's the asterisk in a parenthesis and says may not apply in certain states. Here are the quotes. Who said these? Number one, and there's six of them. Don't call until you hear the sixth one. Number one, be assured, Baghdad is safe, protected. Number two, I will only answer reasonable questions. Number three, they think that by killing civilians and trying to distort the feelings of the people, they will win. Number four, once again, I blame Al Jazeera. Number five, the United Nations, it's all their fault. And number six, they are achieving nothing. They are suffering from casualties. Those casualties are increasing, not decreasing. Okay, who said that? Who said those six things? Our number, 1-866-889-8894. I'm going to put you right straight on the air rather than having Ira take the calls. So I'll just, you know, you call in, I'll just punch up the button, and we'll put you on the air. Who said the following? Our number, 1-866-889-8894, and the phone lines are open right now. Who said, be assured, Baghdad is safe and protected? Who said, take your wildest guess. I will only answer reasonable questions. Okay, the lines are ringing here. Let's just take a few. Hello, caller. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you think the answer is?
I am Storm in Southern Illinois. I think it's Rummy.
Rummy. Nope. I'm sorry, Storm. You're wrong.
Thank you.
Moving along here. Hey, caller. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you think the answer is?
My name is Yarmila. I am calling from Eureka, and I think it was Baghdad Bob.
Baghdad Bob, you're right. You've got it. Hey, hang on just a minute. Okay, we've got a couple other calls here. Ira, you can just pop on and tell those folks that that the contest has been won. Again, your name was? Just your first name?
My name is Yarmila.
Okay, and you're in Eureka, California. You're listening
Eureka,
on KGOE, right?
Yes.
And great. Here's the quotes again. Be assured, Baghdad is safe and protected. I will only answer reasonable questions. They think that by killing civilians and trying to distort the feelings of the people, they will win. The United Nations, it's their fault. Once again, I blame Al Jazeera. They are achieving nothing. They are suffering from casualties. Those casualties are increasing, not decreasing. His real name, Mohammed Saeed al-Sahif, and otherwise known as Baghdad Bob. These are the comments he made as the United States was invading Iraq. Brilliant. Thank you for your call. Thanks for winning. I'm going to put you on hold so that Ira can get your address and he can fill it out for this bumper sticker, which we will send to you. And congratulations on winning our contest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hang on. And Ira, just punch up line 3 there, and you can get her name and address and all that. The bumper sticker sitting right here on my desk. You can come and grab it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service is on the line. Hey, Victoria, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
We just had a contest. What a hoot. The lines were just lit up like crazy. And all these quotes, turns out they were from Baghdad Bob. You know,
he was great.
Wasn't he great? And here's his quotes. Be assured, Baghdad is safe and protected. I will only answer reasonable questions. They think by killing civilians and trying to distort the feelings of the people, they'll win. Once again, I blame Al Jazeera. The United Nations, it's all their fault. They are achieving nothing. They're suffering casualties. Those casualties are increasing, not decreasing. And, you know, people were guessing, oh, it's Rumsfeld, oh, it's Bush, it's, you know. No, it was Baghdad Bob.
No, Baghdad Bob, who has completely disappeared, I think, hasn't he?
Did
he show up somewhere in the end?
I honestly don't recall. I vaguely recall that he might have been arrested fairly early in the war, but I might be wrong.
Maybe he was.
He might still be
He could get a job.
Large. Yeah.
He could be on the air.
He could get a job with the Bush administration. I mean, he's good at this, you know. He was really good at this.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's very funny.
Well, Victoria, welcome to the program. It's always great to hear from you and from Ellen. What's happening in Washington, D.C.?
Well, more talk, of course, about the debate. This is it literally is water cooler conversation in Washington, which gives your listeners some idea of sometimes it can be very exciting here and sometimes it can get pretty darn dull. But obviously the debates are exciting because it's like it's contact sport.
Uh-huh.
It really is contact sport here. And there are new polls out today with Bush ahead and Kerry behind, and so everyone's talking about those. One thing that struck me about the new polls was the way that they're being reported by the news anchors, both locally and nationally. Language like, you know, Kerry is still trailing. Well, he's behind, but in some of the polls he had actually gained a point or two. But the language that's used is, you know, Bush has a strong lead, Kerry's trailing. It's as though some in the media had already decided that Kerry has lost.
Yeah.
And is using the kind of language to sort of depress or suppress those votes who might not go out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Kerry's trailing. That is, trailing is such a loaded word.
Well, now, you know, Sumner Redstone, the head of Viacom, which owns CBS, I guess. I said ABC the other day. Somebody's corrected me on this, CBS.
Right.
Has come out in favor of George Bush. And he said, you know, even though they just paid this $500,000 fine for Janet Jackson flashing on TV, he thinks that the Bush administration is going to be better for them. And the bottom line is John Kerry has said that he would consider doing something about this media consolidation that's going on. And therefore, I think he made the Howard Dean mistake. He shouldn't have taken that issue on until after he became elected, because it's how to make the press hostile. And the press is the gatekeeper in this country.
Right, absolutely, and you know, the consolidation issue is a very hot issue, as you know, and your listeners know, for the media. And it's all about money. And from Sumner Redstone's point of view, I'm sure Bush is the better option. It's business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he's going to vote business. He's not voting ideology. I agree. No, Kerry. Kerry has made a number of mistakes. It's as though that, you know, this is his to lose, it's like they meet every morning and think, okay, what can we actually do today?
You know what I find fascinating, though, Victoria, is in the last election, in the 2000 cycle, the polls of people who actually watched the Bush-Gore debates those, by and large, those people thought that Gore had won the debates.
Mm.
The polls of the people who listened to the commentary in the media about the debates but didn't see the debates, they concluded that Bush had won the debates.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, by the way, the majority of people. The majority of people didn't actually watch the debates.
Right.
They watched the commentary. So there's this suppression of expectation that's just amazing. Andy Borowitz today did this funny thing where he says, the White House today announced that President Bush has an IQ of 67. Scott McClellan told reporters the president is far, far less intelligent than is commonly thought. Even the simplest tasks remain beyond his reach. You know, trying to set up the expectation. You know, if he doesn't drool, he won, right?
And that's exactly what they're doing. And you're right. Even if Kerry does extremely well, whatever that means, if the press decides that they don't like the way he, I don't know, raised his eyebrow, and that's what they show over and over and over again, then that's what Kerry did in the debate. That it becomes reality.
Yeah, or, you know, George Bush Sr. looking at his watch. You know, Al Gore sign. It's this is not so much, in my opinion, a symptom of the liberal or conservative media bias. It's a symptom of the fact that so many of these people in the media are not graduates of journalism school. They don't understand the real role of the media in a democracy, and they're pursuing infotainment. They're looking for, you know, what's the buzz, what's the story, what's going to increase ratings, what's sexy, what's the jazzy thing here, rather than what is going to help inform people about the issues so that they can make an intelligent decision about the future of this nation. So anyway,
it's quite big issues, really, we're talking about.
We really are. We really are.
The future of the nation, the future of the world. It's sort of important, it seems to me.
So what else is going on in Washington?
Well, that's one of the main things. Also, we've been hearing about the FBI. We already knew that they didn't have enough translators from Arabic, and now it seems as though it really is a mess. I mean, they apparently are supposed to translate tapes within 12 hours of them coming in. Of course, there's masses and masses of stuff. Well, more than a third were not translated within 12 hours. This is Al-Qaeda-related audio recording, so it's not just people at the local grocery store discussing the price of fish.
Yeah.
So they were not, and a lot of them weren't even gotten to FBI headquarters.
Yeah.
So they don't have the translators, and they're not getting the work done.
Well, doesn't this track back, or I guess a better question is, does this still track back to as soon as the Bush administration came into power, they fired a whole bunch of Arabic language translators because they were gay, and.
I think that's part of it. I don't think it's all of it, because some of it is that they haven't been hiring enough because they claim they can't hire them. They can't find any.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think firing gay translators helped at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really understand how gayness has to do with your ability to translate. But that's, you know, that's just me.
Well, according to the conservatives, it has to do with your ability to do anything. I mean, it's God forbid. These are people that, in the conservatives' minds, are the accursed, the mark of Cain and all that kind of nonsense. It's just another symptom of the insanity of the bigotry of homophobia that has infected this administration. And along with things like the RNC last week admitting that they had mailed to two states brochures saying that if liberals are elected, they're going to ban the Bible.
It's astonishing.
I mean, it's not astonishing, Victoria. It's criminal.
I know. It is.
This is beyond the pale.
I'm still saying I'm astonished, you know.
Yeah, it's just beyond the pale. This is anti-American. These people are behaving like traitors to the cause. I mean, people in five major wars over a period of 230 years have fought and died for the principles of freedom and democracy in this country, and these people are trampling on them. They are spitting on them, I'm over it. I mean, I played this clip a little. It's worth playing. Let's hear Howard again.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Oh, man, there you go. Okay.
Yes.
Victoria, in our first hour, we had people calling the Secretary of State of Ohio, J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican there, who has decided that if people go on the Internet and get these Ohio voter registration forms and print them out on copy paper, which is typically 16 or 20-pound bond, that they're not accepting them. There's an obscure Ohio law that goes back to the days when all documents had to be kept forever as paper that says that Ohio registration forms must be on 80-pound paper, which is very heavy stock, almost cardstock weight, or coated paper, clay-coated paper. And so they're just like they're saying, tough luck.
So why don't they just change the regulation?
Well, because then you'd have all these people being registered who, you know, there's been this huge Get Out the Vote drive sponsored by mostly Democratic organizations, ACT and Howard Dean's group and MoveOn.org and whatnot in Ohio to get single women, young people, people of color in neighborhoods where, you know, turnout has not typically been so high to get them to register to vote. And you might end up with too many Democrats voting, in my opinion.
You could have people go into the polls, and that's just, you know, not the plan.
Yeah, not the plan. So I'm wondering, has this made any kind of national buzz? Because it's certainly got my listeners going.
No, it really hasn't. The only national buzz, I would say, has been Jimmy Carter's op-ed in the Washington Post and what he said about voting conditions in Florida.
Yeah.
That of course, has received international coverage, which, you know, Florida is not too happy about, but Florida actually has other problems right now.
Yeah.
So Florida is very much the focus. I mean, there have been stories, this comment about there's a problem in Colorado because they have a ballot issue about proportionate representation. And if that passes at the same time as the election results, then they're not quite sure legally what happens, you know, because it could mess up the Electoral College. But no, I would have to say there hasn't been that much focus on it. Now, having said that, there are certain politicians who are running around with their hair on fire trying to get attention drawn to some of the extraordinary things that are going on in different states, states without paper trails where they're desperately trying to get a paper trail, like my state, for example, Maryland, where we know we already have voting machine problems, but they won't do anything about it. But it is very interesting that nobody's listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
until November the 3rd.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of us listening and a lot of us talking about it. The problem is that trying to get anything done in states that are Republican-controlled is just, it's like all these folks calling the state of Ohio this morning. You get put on hold, and you get disconnected, or they say, we'll call you back, and they never call back. And it's like running into a wall. Victoria, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment. Anything else happening in Washington, D.C. that our listeners should know about? Anything that on your radar that you see coming down the road?
No, I mean, we you know, as I said yesterday, I think it's the fiscal new year on Friday. So I think we will start to have some focus on our fiscal woes by then. However, it's not something that will come up in the debates on Thursday, so the attention it will get will be minimal, which will probably suit many in Congress, who would like to come back and sort it out later anyway and go home and campaign.
Right, and pretend that it's everything's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service. Thanks so much, Victoria, for being
thank
with
you.
Us today. I always appreciate it. Always great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 10 minutes before the hour. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical metal.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Out of His Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
A group hopes to persuade the federal government to drain a huge reservoir in Utah. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. When the Glen Canyon Dam was completed in 1966, it created Lake Powell, a vast reservoir stretching 186 miles from the dam in northern Arizona up through southeastern Utah. The project was controversial from the start because it submerged the scenic Glen Canyon, and it's still generating controversy today. A group of activists at the Glen Canyon Institute want to breach the dam, drain the reservoir, and let the Colorado River run free. Chip Ward writes about the effort in his new book, Hope's Horizon. He says the proposal offered in 1996 was first seen as outrageous.
Well, as it turns out, that proposal to drain Lake Powell makes an awful lot of sense. For one thing, Lake Powell traps huge amounts of sediment that have radically transformed the ecosystem downstream in the Grand Canyon. The reservoir drowned at one of the most beautiful canyon systems in the country, probably more beautiful than any national park that we have set aside. And even as a means of storing water, the lake, when it reached its fullest level, was seeing more evaporation off the surface area than water that was coming in.
Lake Powell loses 22 billion cubic feet of water to evaporation each year. Ward says that's become a critical issue.
Of course, at this point, because of this prolonged drought that we're experiencing in the West, Lake Powell has started to drain itself. It's actually down below half of its capacity at this point, and canyons that we have not seen for 20 years are suddenly reemerging from the lake and are accessible again.
The Glen Canyon proposal faces enormous resistance from Utah politicians as well as marina owners and other economic interests around Lake Powell. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey George, pack your gear, we're telling you the end is near. Hey George, pack your gear, we're telling you the end is near. Your home is on the range, it's time for us to make a change. Hey George.
And welcome back, time for us to make a change. No, we really don't want a dictatorship.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Oh yeah, yeah?
Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Oh, elections heralded this from the byline is Kabul, Afghanistan. I don't know if this is AP or what. It was in this morning's newspaper. Elections heralded as the dawn of democracy in war-ravaged Afghanistan. I've been telling you about this for some time now. Even before George Bush started going before the United Nations and going on TV saying, you know, everything's going just fine over there. We got 10 million people in Afghanistan registered to vote. And I'm saying, you know why you've got so many people registered to vote in Afghanistan? Because the local warlords are telling them, if you don't go down and register to vote and then vote for me, I'm going to kill you. That's what they're saying. I mean, you know, it's just... And I've been saying this on the air for, geez, I don't know how long, you know, for months. Ever since they first started, you know, registering people to vote, I said, you know, look out. It's not going to be anything like a clean election. You can pretty much bet Jimmy Carter's not going to be down there monitoring this thing. Well, who knows? We'll see. But here's the story. Elections heralded as the dawn of democracy in war-ravaged Afghanistan will be hijacked by warlords able to intimidate voters and candidates to entrench their own party, own power, a leading rights group warns. The U.S. ambassador acknowledged problems ahead of the country's first ever direct presidential vote on October 9th. But insisted recent demotions for faction leaders and a belated disarmament drive are breaking the back of warlordism. Yeah, right. Human Rights Watch says that some of the armed factions, some allied with the United States, are using forced threats and corruption to dominate the election process. Independent political organizers were receiving death threats, and others were too scared even to get involved. And this the U.S. ambassador for breaking the back of warlordism. Keep in mind that the Soviet Union overthrew the Taliban, or, you know, previous Afghan governments, three times. Overthrowing the government's not the hard part. You'd think you'd figure that out by now. No, it's setting up some sort of legitimate government to replace it. That's the hard part. It's not going to happen this time. Take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Keep track. You'll see. This is a charade, an unfortunate, a tragic charade. It's Tom Hartman, the pill that will help you escape the matrix.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
It's time for This Billionaire Moment.
When it came time to bilk California out of billions in energy costs, Kenneth Lay said, "Send me." When George Bush's campaign needed hundreds of thousands of bundled dollars, Kenneth Lay said, "Send me." When Dick Cheney needed help crafting energy policy that was friendlier to corporations, Kenneth Lay said, "Send me." And when someone had to keep small Enron investors calm so the big guys could bail out before the stock collapsed, Kenneth Lay said, "Send me." He pioneered new ways to create profits, and now he has to wear an orange jumpsuit and languish in a cell without room service. We can only hope that there's a squash court at that minimum security prison. I'm Zena Phobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaire!
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer Agip was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbusters website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a workplace decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the act, urge him to pledge his support. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
No, not the yacht.
Darling, wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh. I dreamed we lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There, there.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream for some of us.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
For a guy who brags about being a Texas rancher, George W. sure is stepping in a lot of cow patties with his Iraqi policy. There was that big one about needing to oust Saddam because he had weapons of mass destruction. He didn't. Then there was Bush's claim that the Iraqi people would throw kisses and rose petals at our troops. They didn't. But perhaps the slickest and stinkiest cow patty that George has stepped in is his choice of allies to pursue his Iraqi adventure. By cozying up to regimes that are repressive and dictatorial, he has undermined any claim that his foreign policy is on the moral high road. In only 1 week in September, three of Bush's global buddies revealed themselves to be the very opposite of freedom fighters and democracy builders. First came Russian President Vladimir Putin, claiming, a la Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, and gang, that global terrorism warrants extreme measures. Putin unilaterally changed the way Russia's 89 regional governors and its legislators are chosen, effectively preventing opposition to his policies. Next was the Bush family's longtime pals, the royals of Saudi Arabia. Their use of religious police to repress Shiite Muslims, Jews, and Christians is so severe that even George's own State Department had to censure them, declaring flatly that freedom of religion does not exist there. Then there's General Musharraf, who stole democracy from Pakistan in a military coup 5 years ago. Ironically, Bush now hugs him as his close ally in his war to bring democracy to Iraq. Earlier this year, Musharraf pledged to give up his post as head of the military while also serving as president. Now, he has reneged, suddenly declaring that it's in the best interest of the nation that he wear both hats. This is Jim Hightower saying, America's credibility in the world is sinking because while George talks about democracy, he walks with autocrats.
Larry King here. You've heard me talk about Ester C. Well, now you can get more from your vitamin E. Introducing the advanced protection of Ester E from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body is ready to use it. So do what I do and get more from your E. Take new Ester-E, E-S-T-E-R-E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
And now, look for new Ester-E where fine vitamins are sold.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listing.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. As predicted, Bush flip-flop. Well, let me get back to that. Another great flip-flop from the king of flip-floppers, George W. Bush, but we'll get back to that in a little bit. First, I want to share with you the perspective of somebody who was, as they say, actually there. Paul Friedman was a soldier on board the USS Abraham Lincoln, or a sailor. Paul, welcome to the program. Were you a sailor, soldier? What branch of the service were you in?
I was a sailor, Tom. Yeah, I was an operations specialist.
Okay, great. You were a sailor there on board the USS Abraham Lincoln. The day that George W. got, now the media loves to say that he flew in there, but he didn't actually fly onto the Abraham Lincoln. He was flown.
Yes, that's correct.
By a real live pilot.
Yes.
Yeah. And what were your thoughts as you saw him arrive? What was your, you know, at that point in time, how were you thinking about George and the war in Iraq and the mission accomplished banner and all that sort of thing? What was going through your mind? What was going on there?
Well, throughout the day, it was just very exciting, and we were all excited and that he would even choose to come out with us. And when he did arrive, we were all very happy, and we celebrated with him, and we all trusted him that he was coming out there to, I guess, lead us.
Mm-hmm.
And
that he was a truth teller, that he was a commander in chief who really was really concerned about the troops.
We did, and that's what no one doubted that at that time.
Yeah, and that was how many days ago? That must have been a little more than that was in May, wasn't it? May of this year.
Yeah. About 16 months.
Yeah. May of last year, I'm sorry. Yeah. So a little more than a year and a half. And in that time, you've been honorably discharged from the Navy and gone on to other things. And now you are having some somewhat different thoughts about this. You want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the change from when he first came and our excitement and our trust, and then only later to find out that it was all just a political stunt. And that he had really no clear exit plan from Iraq, and that we rushed into war in the first place without a plan. And he never bothered to tell us that when he was there, and it hurt. It hurt us. And
in fact, didn't he pretty much give a speech? I mean, no, he said, major hostilities are over, the battle for Baghdad has been won. Sounded like this is it. You know, it's all over. Everything's fine. Don't worry. Be happy. Do you think that at the time that he gave that speech that he actually believed that?
Looking back at it now, and at that time even, it just didn't seem like everything was, all the information was out there, and that he was telling us the truth. And it's unbelievable even now after all this time that with that mission accomplished sign that he still can't admit that he made just one single mistake.
Yeah. Well, in fact, a couple of days ago, he was asked, would you again fly onto the USS Abraham Lincoln and give the exact same speech? He was asked this in an interview just a few days ago, and he said, yes, absolutely.
Well, see, I just don't know, because the reality is that he just is not telling the truth, and I don't know what more lies he can tell us out there if he did go out again and to a carrier.
Yeah, we're talking with Paul Friedman, one of the sailors on board the USS Abraham Lincoln when George Bush declared mission accomplished, or declared major hostilities have ended, the battle for Baghdad is over. The banner declared mission accomplished. For a while, the Republicans were claiming that you soldiers were the ones who put up that banner, and it was your fault, as it were. Was there much buzz about that on the ship?
No, there wasn't. I don't recall who put that up.
Yeah.
Or seeing any of my shipmates putting that up.
Yeah, so that was more something that played out in the civilian media than made its way into the military.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You were just saying earlier that the mission was accomplished, and just looking now in Iraq, it's just so obvious that it's just far from accomplished. And one of the primary things is that we've lost over 1,000 service members there, and they're increasing every day with no end in sight. And these are the people I fought with, and people who are just giving their lives for apparently no reason. And the president isn't making that clear.
Yeah, where had you seen Paul Friedman? We're speaking with one of the sailors on board the USS Abraham Lincoln when George Bush was strutting around with what looked like a sock stuck in his pants. I guess it's impolitic to talk about that. it was one of the weirder bits of TV that I've ever seen. In any case, I shouldn't make fun of that. I mean, that's what happens when you. I'm an old sky. In fact, I broke my back skydiving. 34 years ago. So, I know what those straps do to you. So I shouldn't make fun of George Bush, but it was such an easy target. Anyway, have you seen service in the Middle East?
Well, just from Iraqi Freedom and Southern Watch, and we also participated in Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan.
Were you part of any combat, or were you on a ship that was supporting combat?
Yes, during combat operations, our ship launched aircraft to go into Iraq.
Yeah, yeah. And what are your thoughts now what was the sense at that time about it, and what are your thoughts? And not just your thoughts, I suppose a lot of folks will say, well, it's easy to find, one person who has an opinion that is contrary, mm-hmm. but what do you think is the consensus of your shipmates from the USS Abraham Lincoln? I mean, honestly.
I would say that most people are just a little disillusioned about what's going on there now.
Just a little?
Just the facts speak for themselves about how the terrorists are still flooding into Iraq
mm-hmm.
because we failed to secure the borders of the country. And that's just another problem due to our lack of a plan going in and for our lack of an exit plan.
Paul Friedman, do you mind if we take a caller? We've got a caller on the line who has a question for you.
Sure, that'd be great.
Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Hi, Paul.
Roy, you're going to have to speak up a whole bunch.
Okay.
You're real faint there.
Paul, I was on a fleet tug out in Yankee Station running interference for carriers out there. But I was wondering what the guys felt like when you found out that you'd been maneuvered around so you couldn't even get to port and see your loved ones.
Well, Roy?
I think Roy might be on a cell phone. I think we might have lost him. But that did happen, actually. They said that the reason the Bush had to fly in was because they couldn't get a helicopter in, and it turned out that the ship had been turning circles out there for a while in order to keep it offshore so that the photo ops wouldn't show the skyline of, what was it, San Diego?
Yes.
Did the soldiers become aware of that, or again was that a story that was in the press, a few weeks later that was didn't make
Well, actually it's funny that he mentioned that the issue of not coming home was a very contentious issue on board. As you may not know, we were originally scheduled for a 6-month deployment, and through the politics of the time, we were extended to over 9.5 months. So the attitude on board was fairly low, and everyone just was focused on coming home and seeing their families, and it was delayed another day because he came on board to see us.
On the other hand, it's not every day you get to see the president. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing.
That's true, and it was split because we were, on the one hand, we wanted to see the family and we wanted to get home, and we wanted to go back to our lives, and on the other hand, we had a very honorable thing for the president to come out and to see us. But it turned out that later on that we realized that it just wasn't for what he had planned and what we had thought he planned. It was just all for politics and just as a stunt.
You've been scammed.
Yes.
Paul, what were your political inclinations at that time, and what are your if you don't mind my asking? I mean, I know this is really a snoopy question, but you know,
actually, you know, going into the military, I was very idealistic, and you know, I thought that it is our duty, as I still think now, to just serve. But on board, we were able to get TV and satellite television and reports, everything going on. We were able to see Colin Powell's speech in support of the operations. And from everything that we've seen up to that point, everything that we've heard, and from what our commanders have told us, that it was just a just cause, and we were doing the right thing, and this was a necessary thing to do. And it would, you know, it was very clear from all the information that we've had.
Yeah.
Everything was all set.
Yeah.
And it's just another thing that we have to do to increase democracy throughout the world.
Right.
But just it turns out, it's just after seeing what really happened and what really the reasons were, and that all the reasons given were in fact false. There are no weapons of mass destruction there, and the threat wasn't as great as it was. And if it even is greater now than it was before, because we seem to have united all the terrorists throughout the world against us.
Yeah.
And the threat of terrorism just isn't that. Hasn't gone down at all since that time.
Yeah. May I ask who you voted for 4 years ago?
I did vote for George Bush. I did.
And what are you going to do this year?
Oh, I'm definitely voting for Mr. Kerry. He's the one who's, I think, going to take us out and going to lead us in the right path.
Are you voting for John Kerry because he's not George Bush, or because there's something about John Kerry that you appreciate?
Well, actually, everything about John Kerry I appreciate. Just his stance on the economy and the environment, our foreign relations, pretty much everything. Everything is just like a breath of fresh air. And when he's talking about what his plans are, they're very good plans, and they're so much better, I think, than Bush. And it just seemed like Bush is just still trying to mislead us and still trying to push his old plans forward. And I can't see how that would work at all.
Yeah.
And we need something different. We need a new way to go.
Yeah, well said, Paul. I have to say, you know, it's almost a cliche, but I still like to repeat it, and I think it applies to you as well. During time of war, it takes a lot of courage to volunteer to stand up for your country, as you did, and also during time of war, during time of national difficulty or contention, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to your country. And or at least to your country's leaders and speak out. And you've done both. I salute that. John Kerry has done both. And I think that shows great courage on his part. And George Bush, we discover, has done neither. And
very true.
Yeah. So, Paul Friedman, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity to share my experience.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear from you. And keep spreading the good word. Keep telling the truth.
Thank you.
Yep, good to have you here. The flip-flop of the day from George, it's make us all a little dizzy. President Bush said yesterday, this back in May, that he opposed tapping the strategic petroleum reserves to address rising gasoline prices. "We will not play politics with the strategic petroleum reserve," Mr. Bush said. Well, then yesterday in the L.A. Times, the Energy Department today said it plans to tap into the nation's strategic petroleum reserves. They're gonna start loaning oil to a few undisclosed oil companies so that they can refine it into gasoline. This is not going to affect the price of oil, by the way. What it's going to affect is the price of gasoline. The price of gasoline is going to drop between now and November 2nd. Surprise, surprise! 20 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack and automatically
automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
More bad news from the Congressional Budget Office at the start of the Republican National Convention. According to the CBO, Bush's three major tax cuts, the last two passed even after it became clear the economy was facing a deficit, did not create the 7 million new jobs promised. They also increased the national debt and shifted more of the tax burden from the country's rich to middle-class families.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
A group he calls his nuclear mujahideen, his nuclear holy warriors, facing clear evidence of peril. We cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Welcome back. 25 minutes after the hour, just give me some truth. The Reverend Jerry Falwell said yesterday, this is from Cox News Service, this was a couple days ago, this is a San Diego paper 3 days ago, that Reverend Jerry Falwell said that evangelical Christians now control the Republican Party and the fate, get this, the fate of President Bush. I'm telling you, speaking as a Christian, if Jesus Christ came back to earth today, one of the first people he would run out of the temple would be Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson right behind him. In my opinion, of course. Senator Orrin Hatch, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who said Bush's reelection is critical because the next president is going to appoint two, perhaps four, Supreme Court justices, making it possible to reverse the landmark Roe v. Wade abortion rights ruling. Reverend Frank Pavone, a priest for life, is announcing a $1 million campaign to mobilize church-going voters. Representative Walter Jones, Republican of North Carolina, says preachers must feel free to speak out. And on it goes. This is called the Road to Victory 2004 conference in Washington, D.C., of Christian activists. So-called, I have to say, so-called Christian activists. I'm sorry. If Jerry Falwell, in my opinion, is not a Christian. He is not following the teachings of Christ. And, you know, lest this thing devolve, this program devolve into Christian talk radio. I'm going to stop right there. You know, you don't argue politics, you don't argue religion with your friends. But in any case, enough. Jerry Falwell saying he controls, he and the evangelical, the fate of President Bush. Mind-boggling. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Jeff in Denver, Colorado on the line. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Well, maybe you could call them neo-Christians or neo-Chrises.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
they need to be distinguished from what many would think Christians really are.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, found some interesting information on the web about Ohio voting, and I think the Secretary of State has some splaining to do.
Okay.
FEC.gov, the Federal Election Commission, has forms. Modified a year ago, 10/29/03, and I also have a form from 1997 for registration in Ohio. And the instructions by the federal government saying that Ohio does, you know, they say that these states will accept these forms. It says the form, they will accept copies of the application printed from the computer image on regular paper stock.
Interesting. Right there on the Federal Election Commission website.
Yes. And they do have specific instructions for Ohio. So, you know, apparently Ohio for years has been accepting the FEC form that is allowed to be printed on regular computer paper stock.
Yeah. Although, yeah. You know, it's one of our callers, Ira mentioned to me that somebody had called and said that they had actually, that if you dial that number that I was giving out, what did I do with it? Here it is. If you dial 614-466-2655, apparently, 614-466-2655, apparently if you push 4, it gets you the Secretary of the Secretary of State, J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican in Ohio, who has decided that you cannot, that they're going to throw out a whole bunch, or they're going to, you know, send back to people. You have to re-register a whole bunch of voter registrations because they were not on 80-pound cardstock or 80-pound paper, heavy paper. And she got through to somebody who said, well, we're just trying to stop voter fraud. Make sense to you, Jeff?
No, it doesn't, especially with it just happened so suddenly.
Yeah, just
do a
so
Google
suddenly.
Search for voter forms in Ohio and you find some interesting stuff.
Okay, Google voter forms in Ohio. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Variations on that will give you some stuff.
Great.
Information.
Do appreciate it. 29 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. An Orrick professional air purifier renews the air in a typical bedroom every 10 minutes. But how long does it take for a stick-style unit to do that? Well, they don't tell you. In fact, a leading consumer testing magazine says the most popular stick-style unit is ineffective. To clean the air, you must move the air. Try an Orrick free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Two major oil companies have begun evacuating non-essential workers from the Niger Delta oil region of Nigeria. Fears of an escalation of violence in that region have contributed to a rise of world oil prices to a new high of nearly $50 per barrel in the United States. The evacuation of workers for Shell and European oil producer AGIP was brought on by an increase of clashes between the government's military and armed rebel groups. 50% of the oil produced in Nigeria is from Shell. In addition, a steady stream of hurricanes off the coast of the U.S., almost daily attacks on pipelines in Iraq, a growing demand for oil in China, and the more than 11-week strike and lockout of oil workers in Norway have all contributed to an already volatile market.
Adbusters Media Foundation is targeting Nike by launching a new pair of anti-corporate sneakers produced with union labor. Sharon Cohen, Adbusters Magazine Marketing Director for the Black Spot Sneaker Campaign.
Basically, what we're doing with Black Spot is we are trying to introduce a return to a more grassroots form of capitalism.
Selling for about $48, the shoes are intended to reconnect customers with the workers who create them. The sneakers are made by a family-owned factory in Portugal.
The wages are fair. They are considerably above minimum wage. The workers receive a paid month's vacation. They receive a Christmas bonus, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary. So it's very, very different to the type of situation you would find in an Indonesian sweatshop.
Manufactured from organic hemp, processed without chemicals, and completely vegetarian, the sneakers are available on Adbusters' website.
More than 150,000 people have signed postcards in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. The postcards signed during a drive organized by the AFL-CIO will be presented to both of the presidential candidates when they visit battleground states before the November 2nd election. The act ensures that when a majority of employees in a work place decide to form a union, they can do so without facing energy-draining obstacles employers often use to block workers' attempts to unionize. The Act provides mediation and arbitration in first contract disputes and establishes strong penalties for violation of employees' rights. The postcard signed for presidential candidate Senator John F. Kerry thank him for pledging his support of the Act. The postcards for President George W. Bush, who has not yet endorsed the Act, urge him to pledge his support.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
While there were generally more jobs and better pay for farm workers nationally this summer, New England continues to see a decrease in farm labor. According to the USDA, farm labor nationally provided 943,000 hired workers jobs this summer. That's 10,000 more than the summer of 2003. On average, those workers were paid $9.10 per hour in July 2004, compared to $8.88 per hour in July of last year. However, New England bucked the national trend with a 19% decrease in hired workers in that region.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.com.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and I keep an old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said.
Yes, I remember.
I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat and my asthma's getting worse.
Will you be saying this to your draft board if George W. is reelected? And you're between the ages of 18 and 26?
I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plant. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs.
I'm old enough to remember, I can tell you. Anyway, welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. So glad to be with you today. Today, the 28th of September, Tuesday, 35 days to regime change, 478 days since Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, was outed, 772 days since the anthrax killer struck. Isn't it interesting? Are you safer today? Domestic terrorism happened in the United States. I mean, this was, you know, a major thing. Have you heard word one about it? About any investigation? About anybody, you know, close to being tracked down? Anybody close to being? I haven't. Interesting speculation also about George W. Bush being at war with the CIA. Let me share more with that about that with you in just a moment. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number if you'd like to call in. If you have thoughts, questions, objections, concerns, arguments, or, you know, pretty much anything else within reason, pretty much anything short of a drunken rant, we would love to hear from you. Tim in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Well, hi, Tom. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Yesterday morning, I was listening to BBC, and they had about a 30-second little clip about Jimmy Carter saying that Florida was not ready to even meet minimum international voting standards.
Yeah, he wrote a whole op-ed piece about it in the Washington Post a couple days ago.
Yeah, and I haven't heard one bounce from any other media about it at all. I think it's really very disturbing.
Of course.
Not surprising.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely. I suppose there are some people in the media who are, you know, well, let's just not, you know, scare people. Let's not rock the boat. We don't know if this is a real story. But the bottom line is most of the media in the United States is infotainment and is owned by huge multinational corporations. And, you know, they're not going to be talking about these kind of things. They'd much rather talk about, you know, the Lacey Peterson kind of stuff, or with regard to politics, you know, who has their hair done where, or, you know, how's the horse race going? Keep it simple, keep it dumbed down, those kinds of things, and not raise issues that might embarrass the power structure. I mean, Jeb Bush is the governor of Florida, and as Kitty Kelly pointed out, this is the most powerful family in the world. And they do punish their enemies, and they punish them harshly. And if you want to keep a job in the American media, you don't cross the Bush family, because you will be punished and you will lose your job. And at the national level, those jobs sometimes pay very well, and people are just they're afraid. They're afraid.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm not afraid. I'm not making enough to be afraid.
Yeah. One other little plug is I get to see you live October 14th, 15th, or 15th, 16th out in San Rafael, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, in a couple of weeks. I'll be out there speaking at the Bioneers Conference.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Great. Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
We'll see you then, Tim. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Brian in New Jersey, is on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Always good to talk to you.
Ditto.
I just recently found out, like a day ago, that these debates, or so-called debates, are scripted, and it's going to be nothing more than what it seems to me, some huge commercial for Kerry and Bush just saying their normal talking points over and over again.
Yeah, serial posturing is what I would call it.
Yeah, how do we get them to actually ask one another questions directly? Hey, Mr. Bush, you know, from Kerry, or vice versa. Like, that sounds pretty ridiculous to me that they can't ask somebody a question. If he's talking and Kerry has a view against him, how come you can't truly debate and say, well, wait a second, buddy, that's not the truth?
You get James Baker out of the loop is what you do. James Baker III, the lawyer who, when he was in Russia, said, and I quote, "I fixed the election for George W. Bush in Florida," end quote. James Baker III, who is currently working for the Saudis against the lawsuits of 9/11 families who are suing Saudi Arabia for their complicity in 9/11. James Baker III, his CV goes on and on, but he's the guy who was negotiating on behalf of the Bush campaign, and he's the one who was responsible for putting all this stuff together in large part and pushing really hard for it. So.
Are all these debates going to be scripted? Is there not going to be a single one where they can battle back and forth?
As far as I can tell, that's correct.
That's pretty ridiculous. All right, well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, you're welcome, Paul. Or Brian, excuse me. Yeah, it's a tragedy for democracy. It really is. I mean, you know, can you imagine Abraham Lincoln and the Lincoln-Stevens debate? I forget Stevens' first name. I want to say John Paul, the wrong guy. Can you imagine Lincoln and Stevens saying, well, you know, we need a moderator. They didn't even have a moderator. They just stood behind a couple of podiums and went at each other for, 4 hours? I mean, the Lincoln, Douglas, it was Lincoln-Douglas debates. Was it Stephen S. Douglas? You can tell. It's been a long time since I read the transcripts of the Lincoln-Douglas. I actually did once. But it must have been 15 years ago. And there was some really juicy... Actually, in one of my books, my first book on attention deficit disorder, I have a quote from Abe Lincoln out of the Lincoln-Douglas debate. That's when I read it. When did I write that book? 92. So that's it's been 14 years, 12 years. And that was a real debate. Ain't going to happen now. Ain't going to happen now. 1-866-889-8894. Let's pick up another call here. Paul in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. I called up that number for the Ohio Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
And got through immediately to a woman. I didn't do the extension for. But anyway, I just told her straightforwardly that, you know, everyone should be allowed to vote and there should be no disenfranchisement. And, you know, it was just very courteous. I first saw that story last night on the Daily, what's it called, the Daily Coast, the weblog, is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, well, it's one of the biggest progressive weblogs on the net, and they were all over that with the numbers and everything like that. So I'm thinking this story might break nationally, hopefully.
Interesting, yeah.
But, yeah, I would continue to give that number out. It might be a good idea for people to call up.
That number being area code 614-466-2655. It's the telephone number of J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican Secretary of State for the state of Ohio, who's decided that if you go to the Federal Election Commission site where you can find the forms to register to vote in Ohio, and you print out the forms as the Federal Election Commission instructs you to, and you you give them to people and you have them register to vote and you turn them in, J. Kenneth Blackwell has decided he's not going to accept them because they're not printed on 80-pound paper. Normal copy paper is 20-pound paper, and you know, back in probably 1804 or something, they decided it's things that actually, you know, probably 1950 or something, that these forms have to be on heavier paper so that they can keep them in their archives. Well, of course, now they digitize them, they scan them, but in any case, ask J. Kenneth Blackwell, areas code 614-466-2655. And they told you, and what did they tell you again, Paul?
Nothing. It was just a receptionist. She asked for my name. And
uh-huh.
Wrote down my name, and I guess, you know, maybe some blurb about the comment. But she was a very courteous person, so I don't know if that went anywhere or not. But
yeah.
I got through to somebody.
Well, you get a civil servant. You get somebody who's they're just doing their job. And that's the thing. When you call, be nice to these people because, you know, if you get Mr. Blackwell himself, feel free to tell him, you know, whatever you think of him and his politics. He's the elected official. But the rest of them are people, by and large, anybody else you're going to talk to, unless maybe you get through to his press secretary, is somebody who's just like you and me, just, you know, trying to get through the day, trying to do their job, trying to get, you know, make enough of a living to put their kids through school and pay the rent kind of thing. And so, you know, let's treat them with some respect, but also let's raise the questions. Paul, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. And thanks for calling the Ohio Secretary of State. That's, you know, good on you. And now also don't forget, call your congressman in Ohio and your two senators in Ohio. I'm sorry, in New Mexico. How many members of Congress do you have in New Mexico? Do you know, Paul? Nope, Paul has gone. Okay. In any case, you know, keep it up and keep making the phone calls. 1-866-889-8894. John in Tuscaloosa, Alabama on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the program. You folks getting
heart of Dixie.
Yeah, you getting the hurricane down there?
Well, we didn't have much. But, a little wind. There were some trees that were blown down. The soil got wet. But we were very lucky. We're in the central part of Alabama, actually west central.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the years that we lived in Atlanta. We raised our three kids in Atlanta, and every now and then a hurricane would hit the south. And you know, by the time it got up to Atlanta, it was pretty ferocious. It was still pretty, you know, what you'd get are the tornadoes, you know, or the tornadoes that would be spun off that would take out a house or two here and there. And anyhow, that's not what you called about, I'm sure. What's up?
I'm from Alabama, and of course, when I read the Rolling Stone article by Paul Alexander. About George Bush's behavior when he was a 26-year-old college grad working for a Republican candidate, how he trashed a poor lady's
apartment,
a nursing home's house, and his general behavior being rather inebriated and completely out of control. I just thought, well, maybe he's changed a lot since then, but that would be something if Kerry had done it, or Ralph Nader, or anyone else, the Republicans would be pasting it on billboards. And so I just was wondering if people weren't aware of the current Rolling Stone article by Alexander that maybe they would like to read it.
Yeah, it's excellent. I quoted some from it a week or so ago here on the air. You know, I think it's remarkable. Can you imagine if Al Gore or Bill Clinton had been recovering alcoholics? I mean, as it was, they tried to impeach Bill Clinton for, you know, saying, well, you know, the guy is addicted to sex. We can't have that. He's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Dealing with it as if it was a psychopathology that made him unfit for office. But anyway, that's, yeah. Good point. I think the bigger issue, frankly, John. It does speak to the character of the man, certainly. But the bigger issue is what George Bush has done in the last 3 years. And what he's done in the last 3 years is he's led us into he lied us into a war. He had a lot of contrary information from the Defense Intelligence Agency, from the National Security Agency, even from the CIA. He knew that there was an argument about what was going on there. He was getting information from countries around Iraq that Iraq posed no threat. None of those countries were particularly concerned about Saddam. He lied us into a war. We have had thousands, tens of thousands of deaths when you include the civilian deaths in Iraq, and they are every bit as much human beings as you and I. And he's presided over the destruction of millions of jobs, the decline of the economy, the handing off, the destruction of the American middle class, the handing off of enormous amounts of wealth to the very wealthy, the growth, the explosion in the working poor in the United States, and an explosion in both the costs of medical care and the number of people who are uninsured. And those are the things, frankly, that I think he should be most held accountable for. We can say, you know, the same way he trashed that woman's apartment in Alabama 30 years ago is how he's trashing the nation. You know, that might be an appropriate parallel.
That's an interesting observation. I just wanted to say one more thing, and I've got to get off the phone.
Sure.
But I think my brother is in Delray Beach, and they've had power outages and all sorts of dislocations down there. If we have any more storms go through that way, it's about 5 weeks to the election. Even if they have electronic voting in Florida, they may not be able to vote at all.
Yeah, although, you know, for the Electoral College, really all they need is for the House of Representatives for the state of Florida to decide who the electors are.
That may be the way it goes anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I enjoyed talking with you, and have a nice day.
Thank you, John. Thanks. Good to hear from you. In fact, during the last election in 2000, you will recall, when there was discussion of a recount, the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida came out and said that that regardless of how the recount came out, even if it looked like Gore had won the recount, and you know, when it was finally done after 9/11 and published in the New York Times, it turned out that if there had been a statewide recount, Gore would have won, or you could say did win. But nonetheless, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Republicans who controlled the House in Florida, said, no matter who wins the recount, we are sending Republican electors to Washington, D.C. George Bush is going to be president. And sure enough, what a surprise. Ann in Sarasota, Florida on the line. Hey, Ann, what's up?
Hi, real quick, there's an article on a website called whatreallyhappened.com.
Okay.
All one word.
Hey, yep, whatreallyhappened.com. And what really happened?
There's an article about called The Lynching of Dan Rather, and it's very interesting reading if people want to go take a look at it. And by the way, just for a footnote, the gentleman that runs this website is actually a Republican, but he has a lot to say. He doesn't like Bush.
Interesting.
And the way the Republicans are going. But the article's interesting from the standpoint, there was an interview Dan Rather had with BBC News over in England right after the start of Gulf War II,
yeah,
where he said that the attitude of the news media in the U.S. is go along or with the military and the administration, or you're going to be left out in the cold and you're out of a job.
Right. It was a very, very poignant interview. I actually heard clips of that, and although it wasn't played in the United States, it is available on the web. And Dan
the other
Rather's
thing that was mentioned in the article, real quick, was that there was a documentary done over there by the BBC 5 years ago, so when Bush was running the first time around, and they covered that whole issue that Dan Rather covered on 60 Minutes about,
yeah,
Bush's missing military records and how he got in the National Guard, and they had other documents that weren't even brought up by Dan Rather.
Oh, yeah.
And it's covered extensively in the article, so if people want to go read it, please have them do so.
Yeah, what really happened. That documentary, by the way, was produced by Greg Palast. It's for a BBC program called Newsnight, and you can also find it on gregpalast.com. And I wrote a piece about this that you can find if you go to tomhartman.com and click on Articles for about Democracy. It's the top piece. It's called Just Cut Out Their Tongues. But, Ann, good one. Thank you. Thanks for alerting us and our listeners. 10 minutes before the hour, it's the Tom Hartman program.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop.
The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartmann's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartmann. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth have been running ads attacking John Kerry's war record, and now Kerry is accusing the Bush administration of being in collusion with them. Just because the funding for these ads came from Karl Rove's friend Bob Perry, the Republican Party's top donor, doesn't mean the administration is behind them. No, we are. We've got too much money riding on this election. We can't afford to have a real war hero make our Georgie look like a coward for using his father's connections to avoid serving in Vietnam. Darling, any sucker can enlist to go off and fight a war. It takes a really brave man to start one. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
This is a Workers Independent News Service feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. In a sweeping agreement covering more than 8,000 farm workers in a federal visa worker program, the Farm Labor Organizing Committee has ended its five-year boycott of the nation's second-largest pickle company, Mount Olive.
We came to terms with the company and the North Carolina Grower Association last week in an agreement that covers over 8,000 workers on over 1,000 farms in North Carolina.
President of the FLOC, Valdemar Velasquez, says they've won the largest union contract in North Carolina's history.
We have a three-step grievance procedure. We eliminated blacklisting. If they complained about something, they were put on a blacklist and then put in the government computer so the worker could never enter the country again on any kind of visa. And we have a seniority system now where workers are able to apply in order of their seniority and reclaim those jobs the next year. And the union will be overseeing this hiring effort in Mexico during the winter months. Mount Olive agreed to put out a 10% wage increase over the next 3 years. So the agreement stretches from Mexico to Ohio.
Unions, churches, and students mounted a massive pressure campaign, including picketing grocery stores. A company spokesperson said Mount Olive is very relieved the boycott is over. Velasquez believes there are two reasons the flock was successful.
They were spending more time fighting protests and other things that we did to get their attention than running their business is one reason. And the other reason is, I think, is just spiritual. We prayed fervently, and boom, the pieces just came together.
There's been no time for celebration, with only 7 full-time organizers trying to implement the labor agreement on more than 1,000 farms. The flock is now setting its sights on helping undocumented workers at non-Mount Olive farms. With the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartmann.
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. A few hours after George W. Bush dismissed a pessimistic CIA report on Iraq as just guessing, the analyst who identified himself as its author told a private dinner last week of secret, unheeded warnings years ago about going to war in Iraq. Writes Robert Novak, the fellow that John Stewart likes to refer to as scumbag for liberty, Robert Novak. This exchange leads to the unavoidable conclusion, Novak says, that the President of the United States and the Central Intelligence Agency are at war with each other. Well, nobody ever accused Novak of being a little less than outspoken. Amy in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Amy, what's up?
Oh, hi there. Yeah, well, I was just hearing one of your listeners saying that he thought the story about Blackwell is going to go national. I don't think so. I just finished calling ABC, NBC, and CBS. CBS was mildly interested. Actually, it was rather nice. ABC, not interested at all. And NBC accused me of having just called, and I said, no, I just called ABC. And then they said, they'd looked on the Internet, and they didn't see anything, so it's a non-story for them. So is there some place that you got it that I can tell people to go to? Or?
Let's see.
I mean, I thought that was interesting that they didn't even consider it as a
yeah,
story.
I
didn't rant. I was perfectly, you know, looked like there's a big story here. Hello.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure where Louise pulled this thing from. I don't have the original story here in front of me anymore. I just have the page with the phone number on it. But you might try buzzflash.com.
Okay, it's also clear when I called. I mean, they're not saying that we're crazy when we call this.
No.
Numbers.
No, no, they'll acknowledge it.
NBC, I said, look, you know, if it were something crazy, they would say, oh, forget about it.
This is real. Well, we'll keep hammering on this thing. We'll see what comes up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Amy. Keep up the good work. I'm really proud of you for calling all those news media. That's impressive. Well done. Thanks a lot. Okay, 2 minutes before the hour. We're right up at the edge here. David in San Francisco. Hey, David. Just a few seconds left. What's up?
Yeah, no trouble. Hi, Tom. Just a couple of different things. Urging people to vote absentee this year, and we probably still have about a week before you can switch your registration at your local city hall to get an absentee ballot. If you're stuck in a state where you're going to have to do this new electronic junk, you can bypass them by getting an absentee ballot. It'll get mailed to you a month early, and you know there will be a paper copy, and there's no way they can screw you.
I agree with you, David, although it's not going to be enough. It's not, you know, it's not going to be enough to prevent voter fraud, but it does make us feel good about it, and it is probably a good thing to be doing. I appreciate the call. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks to Louise for producing our show today. Thanks to Ira Gravatt for engineering it, to Brad for our music, Shelby for streaming us around the world, to the folks in our chat room for showing up, to Mike Toth for our archives at TomHartman.com. Thanks to Jay for our theme music, writing, producing it. And thanks to you for listening. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. I truly appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.